Live video, there you go.
Okay, so I'm gonna come over here. All right, so welcome. So this is welcome to Anti-Gravity Detroit, where we talk about black business, we get real, we talk about the challenges and the triumphs. We don't sugarcoat at all. And so that's why I'm really glad to have Mr. Niles. And I always get scared about saying your last name, because you're like, man, this is not a fish. So how do you say your last name?
Heron.
Heron, thank you.
Like the bird.
Like the bird.
Not a fish.
The yes. Great blue heron.
Sorry.
The great blue heron of
yes.
Belle Isle.
But here's the thing, just
go ahead.
Just Gil Scott. Just think, I mean, like, you know how to say Gil Scott's last name?
Yeah, Gil Scott. Yes, I do.
Heron.
Heron. Heron, that's your uncle, right?
Yeah.
Yes, yes. That's right.
The same
cousin,
name.
Yeah.
Cousin, okay. So we are really, really fortunate to have Niles Heron.
You got it.
Okay. And we always try to promote and show black businesses or community spaces that promote black businesses. And so we're very fortunate to be here at Source Booksellers. We have Miss Jones and her daughter Allison. Mm-hmm. Just a love. Pardon?
Janet.
Okay. I want to be respectful. We'd love for you just to say, this is an amazing spot. Everyone always tells me about this. I've been here a couple times. I'm guilty of not reading a lot of books, but I'm hoping to change that soon.
We have an yes. audiobook opportunity for you.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
That's not reading.
I know.
You should still consume them.
Yes, but still.
Call it what it is. Don't say you're reading an audiobook. Don't ever tell me you're reading an audiobook.
Which is what I do. I tell people all the time. Mm-hmm. So, Janet and Allison, if you could tell us a little bit about your store, if anything's coming up. We thank you for letting us be here.
Well, thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you.
Okay, so we've been here in the Midtown neighborhood for 17 years, and we've been bookselling in Detroit for 30 years. Our niche is nonfiction, so we have mostly nonfiction books. Interesting categories like history and culture, health and well-being, spirituality and metaphysics, buying about women, books buying about women, arts, and local interests. Books. We don't like to, we like to keep our edges
a little wild.
So we have science fiction and poetry.
Okay.
Exciting fiction.
Prize winning,
or it could just be Black Leopard, Red Wolf.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard that.
It's a new book by Marlon James.
Okay.
Black Leopard, Red Wolf.
All right.
Yeah.
It's a novel. No, is it short stories?
It's a novel. Yeah.
Okay.
Fast speculative.
Mm-hmm. Well, we hope to do your location justice by being frank and being open and honest about black business. Mm-hmm. Again, it's not, we don't sugarcoat. We talk about things that are relevant and honest, and we're hoping we do you guys justice. So thank you so much for letting us use your spot.
Sure.
Thank you
for letting us move things around.
Yeah.
And you know, and we got a couple books here. I'm bringing back on at the end,
mm-hmm.
and just to say something too. So people see in the beginning, people see at the end. Okay. This is gonna be recorded. So this is going to is live streaming now on Facebook, as long as my phone has power, and that tape holds up. That's okay. Right at an angle. It's not an earthquake. It's just the tape. So. Anyways, but we definitely want to bring you back on at the end and say a little bit more. So thank you so much.
Okay.
And you can go to your meeting now, right?
Okay.
Okay. I'm not calling you out, am I? Okay.
Nope.
All right. Yes. Sorry. You won't be quiet about that. All right, sir. There you go. All righty. And Miss Janet. Okay. All right, you good? Does it sound good? Oh, we did have an earthquake. Can you do anything about the camera or no?
Oh, it's okay.
Oh, wow. So it's perfect.
Sorry about this.
No, it's fine. So that is quite all right. So let's just dive right into it. We're going to cheat this to an hour, maybe a little bit shorter today. You're gonna hear some noise in the background, but we're trying to show you guys a black business actually operating. So,
as long as your audio levels are right, it'll be okay.
Good.
All right. You know, I mean, like that's I think most of the best conversations I've ever had have had books around me.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So.
And it has a coffee house.
That's a good look.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this is a place where a lot of people actually come and talk about books, and they have offers to come and sit.
I stumbled in and out of three different arguments with Janet today.
That's right. All right. So I want to get to the top, straight to the topic, and that's why we have Niles here. So a little about Niles. From my personal point of view, you've been around the ecosystem here for a long time. I know you went out west for a while, and you've come back. And I know that Niles is very passionate about building up Detroit and helping talent be cultivated here and be put on a much larger scale. And I know Niles is very aware of lots of roadblocks and issues and challenges that Metro Detroit has, particularly for black business. Just business and technology, period. There's so many. We're such a automotive still thinking city that it's hard to bring in new industries and get the limelight that we need. So I just remember Niles just always speaking up in every event that I've been to. He's been a speaker or sometimes been part of the audience, but he's been heard and he's been always unapologetic and he's always been poignant and is always making a point that that's relevant. And I would say not self-serving, but thinking of the community, thinking about Detroiters, black folks. And so I wanted to thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Let's dive right. What caused you to become, or you know what, I didn't even mention your bio. tell me a little bit about Pop Dog, man. I want to know more about this. This is your new venture that you're working on. Let's talk about that, please.
Yeah, new venture.
Yes.
It's a gaming tech company.
Yes.
We see many of the people who work in esports love to make analogies to traditional sports, traditional stick and ball sports.
Yep.
And I think that some of those fit.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of them don't. And as a result, I think that the ecosystem of gaming, of competitive gaming specifically, multiplayer, online gaming more specifically,
right,
has evolved with some blind spots.
Okay.
Right? Because people keep trying to fit it into this like traditional sports, just digital bag. And it doesn't really fit there. That's not really what it is.
Right.
And so effectively, when you think about gaming, the thing to recognize is that it's all a content play, right? There are the historical revenue proposition for a video game is the video publisher can spend as much money as they can get back in sales, right? Very simple.
Yep.
Maybe you started seeing, like in Grand Theft Auto back in the day, you would start seeing product placement in video games, right? There'd be a Coca-Cola, not a Pepsi machine.
Yes.
And when you run around San Andreas or whatever. Cool, right? Another revenue stream for the publisher.
Right.
What happened about 7 years ago is that technology got good enough that we realized that there was a half step between watching someone play a game and actually playing the game yourself, that gave you a similar level of interactivity in the media that you're consuming, right? Which is the difference between a game and a movie, right?
Right,
a game
is
like a choose-your-own-adventure book with a million pages.
Stop motion, but continuous.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, I mean, but I mean, like, you know, when you ever read the choose-your-own-adventure
book? Oh, yeah, I love that.
If you want to go left, jump a page, blah, blah, blah. Right? Yeah. Imagine if you could...
You're dead.
Right.
No,
imagine if you could have 50 choices every time you jumped a page, and you never ran out of pages. That's a video game, right?
Right.
So it's not like fascinating.
Very appropriate for where we are.
Exactly. Right. So basically, live streaming content in the gaming world is the same as any other interactive media that we would participate in.
Right.
You know. And PopDog is trying to figure out how to get ahead of some of the trends we see in live streaming media, specifically as it relates to gaming, because we see huge opportunities. And to that end, we own a talent agency that is the biggest, best, whatever in the nation right now for video gamers.
So we see live streaming.
Yeah. People who play video games on Twitch or YouTube or Facebook. And then other people watch them play video games.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right? And I mean, like, you know, for context, and I said this on in another discussion recently, more people spent time watching my biggest client during 6 months of 2018 than all of the people in all of the theaters in America spent watching Black Panther.
Oh, wow. Wow. And you got that.
By like 3 billion minutes, we beat that.
Goodness.
Wait a minute. And I'm including, like, I'm assuming people were there for the opening and closing credits.
Okay.
Right? So I'm like giving a lot of generosity to the moviegoer. And they still were 3 billion minutes short of one of my clients.
And you guys an agency or?
We're a management company agency. I mean, the space is a little bit nebulous, so
right.
we have the appropriate licenses to operate how we operate. But we think of ourselves as a management.
Awesome. And so that's okay. That's thank you, because that helped me understand. I thought
we also own an analytics platform and a data stack that we pair with the inventory that we manage through the agency side, right?
Right.
So one of the biggest problems in live streaming is it's brand new. Nobody knows how to measure it. CMOs from Fortune 100 companies are saying, oh my God, gaming. My kid won't stop playing games. My kid won't stop talking about Twitch. How do I buy? And the only thing you can do is a programmatic media buy, which is really silly because nobody can measure the inventory.
Okay.
You can only buy ads, is what I'm saying.
Right.
You can't do activations really well because you can't really.
You say activations like when people are.
So you can't do product placement. Product placement is a huge lost opportunity in live streaming for a lot of people because there isn't data to substantiate what the reach is. Like, what's the impact of it? How many people saw my Coke can?
Yes.
Which is the only way you know how to price what the Coke can is worth.
You
otherwise, everyone's just trying to shake hands and saying, I like games, you like games, we like games, let's pay you $10,000.
Guesstimate.
Yeah, it's that kind of where is the wind going kind of thing. That's a really whack way to measure.
And so you guys are able to actually.
Yeah, so we bring good data to that equation.
Okay.
Plus top of line inventory, those two things together gives us a pretty good market position.
That is very strong. That is very strong. That's a huge thing now too. I know that I know you're working on bringing something here local, like a couple gaming events, and probably some of the talent from Pop Dog.
I mean, we hope. Listen, like, and we'll get into we can get into some of this
I think,
as we talk a little bit about Detroit and why Detroit is so special. But, I think that gaming is a power position in developing minds.
Okay.
Right.
It
so
can be right.
No, I mean, listen. Every parent I know, every parent I've spoken to in the last 6 months, who has a kid who likes Fortnite.
Yes.
Has used Fortnite to incentivize chores, homework, and other good behavior.
That's good.
That means gaming, it's not as though those parents hadn't said prior, do your homework, do your chores, and behave well.
Right.
Right? But it's about having a power play that you can make. It's about having leverage.
Right, right.
I have something you want. You know I'm not going to starve you, so it's not like I can threaten not to feed you dinner if you don't do your homework.
Right, right.
That's abuse, right? We
lock
that parent up, but we will never lock them up for taking away Fortnite. Fortnite.
Maybe in the future.
I mean, listen, if the computers take over. Right?
Yeah.
So, like, the thing that's interesting to me is just the value that can be sort of, like, seen in kids' lives and in, frankly, gamers' lives from the game, from the interactivity that they get from the game, from the thing, the responses, the stimulus response cycle that you get from these games.
Right.
That's not going to change.
No. No, and you can go deeper.
Exactly.
They can go deeper.
Right.
And then hopefully,
I want to own the data for how that ends up happening.
So you do want to take over the world.
didn't
say no.
You
didn't
I
say
wanna
no.
Make, I, but I, what I want to do is find ways to leverage gaming the same way parents have.
Right.
And the ways to leverage these new sorts of media in the way that the parents that I'm talking about have done. Right.
Right.
Which is to say, the reason that I'm in the position that I'm in right now is that I started playing video games.
Right.
I would not be at this company, in this company. And frankly, prior to this company, I still would not have been where I was were it not for games.
Right.
Games unequivocally saved, they saved me from being a participant in at least a number of other alternate realities that I could have been.
Which are not good.
Which we don't know.
We don't know.
Because I didn't go down those paths. They could have turned out great.
You could have gone left.
Right?
Right. Yeah.
But I know that the path that I'm on is due to the games that I played.
Right.
And the fact that I did that on a computer, not a PlayStation.
Mm. Okay.
So when I turn the game off,
right,
I can Google things. I was beefed out with my dad.
Yeah.
Because I was an angsty teenager.
Yeah.
And that's how that works.
And everybody is.
And he was on the radio. Right. And WDET, actually, just right over there.
Yeah.
He had a radio show on WDET for like 20 years.
Really?
And I started a radio station in my basement.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Not really thinking it. Today, I usually tell that story second. I could do it better than he did.
Right.
In real life, I just wanted to be like my daddy. You know what I'm saying? So
I'm going to speak to that as well. So my dad was an architect,
yeah,
and he put me on the drafting board at an early age. I know I've told this story many times on this, but the point is that at age 9, I was doing floor plans and elevations of things that were actually getting built. And then when I got older, I was like, I got the angst as well, and I was like, man, this is boring. This is just two-dimensional. I can do better than this. I'm going to become an engineer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I became a design engineer eventually. Worked at General Motors with 3D design, right?
Right.
And so, but still, I was trying to get his approval, or just, trying to win him over.
My therapist talks to me a lot about
the
relationship between us and our parents and the way that affects the choices we make later in life regarding unresolved conflict,
yes,
or unresolved recognition. And things
oh,
like
yeah.
That. Like, it's super crazy.
Recognition. Dads don't do a good job.
Yo.
That's all right, but you need to do such and such.
You know, let me tell you, so I'm a writer.
Yes.
Here's the thing.
Yes.
The thing about coming from a family of writers.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that love wasn't spelled in a red line through something I thought was good.
You did. So the red line.
That's how I knew that my parents loved me, right? I knew my parents loved me because I would hand them this thing that I thought
and
was good.
Mark it up.
And it would come back bleeding. Right?
But it took you a while to figure that out, right? Or did you know that?
I didn't understand any of it now.
Yeah.
I just recognize that now
adult. Yeah,
that when I really care about something, when someone hands me something, mm-hmm, and I know they really care about it and I really care about them,
yes,
and it creates problems in my life, in my personal life, right? Because I legitimately, like, if you hand me this project and you say, I think this is amazing,
yes,
and I care about you, I can't tell you it's amazing until I think it is.
Right.
Because I want the world to see you the way I do.
Yes.
That's what my parents were doing.
Yeah.
They were saying, no. If you hand this, you little black boy, if you hand this to them, they might not see you how I do.
Right.
That was what my parents were telling me when my papers came back to me bleeding, and I thought that I was shit.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, we didn't. Yeah.
Because they didn't have a different word. That was how they knew. They couldn't imagine. They wanted to make sure people saw my brilliance.
Right.
And so they needed to fix all of the things that might stop that.
Yes.
And that's what, my mom's mom treated her that way. She wanted to make sure the room was, for my mom's mom, the room needed to be clean. Because if the room wasn't clean, they might think you're messy.
Right.
Or they might think you're not as good as, they might think you're not as well kept as whatever.
Right.
And but it was fundamentally so rooted in this idea that I can see the sun shining through you, and I could not imagine, I cannot stomach the thought of someone else not seeing you in the light that I have seen you in my beautiful little child.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like that for the child.
Right, no, it doesn't. And I don't know. It
feels like an extension cord.
Yeah, yes. And I know with my kids, I try to try to be different. And I do critique them and give them, my thoughts on what they're doing.
Mm. Just pay for their therapy, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But I try very hard to let them know.
Yeah, my mom tried real hard. My dad tried real hard. My dad's dad never played ball with her. You know what I'm saying? And my dad's dad was a Jamaican immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
Not the best dude. I never met him, but it seems that he was not the best dude in terms of, like, parental camaraderie, like really kind of like building and like validating his kids. That wasn't his bag.
Right.
And he never played ball with my dad.
Right.
So my dad couldn't throw a football for us. So my mom had to teach me how to throw a spiral.
Really?
Shout out to
Black. That's kind of dope. Yeah, that's kind of dope.
But my dad still wanted to play ball with me.
Right.
And the only reason I threw